The reading for this morning will come from 2 Chronicles 16:34. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever.
Good morning, everyone. I appreciate Anthony's willingness to come up and read. At his age, I know Mick and I were talking that, I don't know, it was a little bit challenging to get up and get in front of folks, even if you know them. So it did a great job again today, so I certainly appreciate that. And I also wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving this week. I know this is on everybody's mind, and I hope that everyone is able to spend some time with family and enjoy the day and hopefully the week, and think about all the things that we're thankful for. I'm thankful for Josh and for Mickey as well, who've led songs that I know they weren't familiar with, but I asked them to lead. So I am very thankful for that. In fact, the song that we sung right before this lesson would be the title of my lesson, which is "The Lord Has Been Mindful of Me." So with Thanksgiving week coming up, I figure we ought to talk about Thanksgiving. So if you want to turn your Bibles over to Psalm 34, we're going to spend our time there this morning, our entire time there this morning in Psalm 34. You know, there's 14 Psalms that are written that are actually based on historical events that are recorded elsewhere in Scripture. And Psalm 34 is one of those. It's attributed to David, and it's written about and based on events that are written about in 1 Samuel chapter 21. And in it, David wants to give thanks to God for his special protection of him. The superscription states that this was written after David pretended to be insane before Abimelech, who drove him away. So the story is Saul was pursuing David, trying to kill him. He had flown or fled to Gath amongst the Philistines, thinking, well, surely they won't recognize me and I can hide out here. I can take refuge here. But they immediately recognized him. So David actually acted as an insane man, and the king drove him away. But David saw this event as deliverance by God, and he wrote this psalm that expresses his gratefulness of God's protection. It's an acrostic poem, and in this case, each verse would begins with a successive letter of the Hebrew alphabet. There's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. There's 22 verses in Psalm 34. We kind of lose that translation a bit, you know, with our English translation, but you can see how that would have made it much easier to memorize this particular psalm. The theme of the psalm is that comforting truth that God looks after those who are faithful to Him and who trust in Him. David praises God, and he urges others to join in Him because of how God cares for His people. So let's begin looking at the text this morning. So when and how do we praise God? Maybe a first question. And immediately David begins answering that in the first three verses. The first three verses begin with an exhortation to praise the Lord and how praising of God should be done. It says, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together." So we see there in verse 1, praise should be a continuous activity for the Christian. David says he will bless the Lord at all times, even while he was being pursued with the threat of death. David found the secret of putting one's focus not on himself, but on God. And to bless God means to praise Him, to worship Him, to thank Him for what He's done for us. And we bless God by what we think about Him, what we say to Him and about Him, what we do in service to others in His name. And we should regularly practice gratitude and our thanks in giving thanks to God. It should just become a habit of ours to express gratitude to God. And it's to be done at all times and in all circumstances, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, both in times of happiness, but also in times of sadness, in times of difficulty. And you may think, well, why? Because that's very challenging at times, right? It's challenging to be thankful during those times. It's because we may never really see or fully see what's actually happening at that particular time. We can only know that God is actually at work and that He's working all of these situations out, not only for our good, but for His glory in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Secondly, we can see that David boasts in the Lord. He's thankful to the Lord for what He has done and causing him to rejoice. And our boast should be in the Lord. There's no self-gratification in the Christian for any of our accomplishments. David certainly could have been one that could have boasted in his accomplishments. If you think about all the deeds that he had done, they're recorded in Scripture. But instead, he kept his focus on God, and he boasted in the Lord. As Christians, we also need to keep our focus on the Lord and on God and express our thankfulness to Him for His magnificence and the generosity of His help. And then thirdly, in this section, we see how our praise influences others. It will lead them to praise God. You know, by telling others how great God is and what He's done for us, it magnifies or it amplifies God in their eyes. Praising and thanking God continually with our mouths and with our hearts for what He's done for us also should help us to remember and to count all of the blessings we have from God. It is that joyful song in our hearts that helps us to recognize and understand His great power and His love for us. The Lord has been mindful of me. And our praising of God will inspire others to trust in God as well when they, as verse 2 says, they will hear it and rejoice. Secondly, in verses 4 through 7, we see we praise God as He answers our prayers. He delivers us and He protects us. In those verses, God's depicted as acting on behalf of His children, showing His love for us. It says, I sought the Lord and He answered me and He delivered me from all my fears. They looked to Him and were radiant, and their faces will never be ashamed. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him and He rescues them. You know, there's six verbs in this verse, or in these verses, that describe God's answer to David's prayer. In verse 4, He answered me. In verse 4 as well, He delivered me. Verse 6, He heard me. Verse 6 as well, He saved him out of his troubles. Verse 7, the angel of the Lord encamps around. And also in verse 7, and rescues them. So He answered, He delivered, He heard, He saved, He encamps, and He rescues. That's David's perspective of God. It's not someone who's distant, you know, not engaged, but someone who really does care about us. This should result in our great joy and thankfulness in our hearts to God. And this reflects God's love as a father for His children. You know, Jesus makes many statements in the Gospels about the fatherhood of God. In fact, 17 times in the Sermon on the Mount, He makes the statement, Our Father in heaven. In verses 4 and 6, we see that God hears and answers the prayers of the faithful. David recalls when he was in trouble and surrounded by fear, David actually fled to God for refuge through his prayers. God heard his cry for deliverance, and he brought him through those dark nights and those difficult circumstances. He rescued him from those times. Likewise, God will hear our cry and deliver us from our dark nights and our troubles. Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, that we are to cast all our anxiety on him because he cares for you. In verse 5, Dave mentions that other believers who have looked to God for help and strength and have received what they need, they are filled with joy. The psalmist says they are radiant. They are basically filled with joy of God's presence and seeing the help that he's provided to them. We can have confidence that God will never disappoint us. We will, as verse 5 says, we will never be ashamed. Just as is written in Romans chapter 9, verse 33, I know Alan will get to this shortly, says, just as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. And then finally in verse 7, we're reminded that God puts his arms of protection around us. Those who trust in God have his power working in them. The angel of the Lord is just a symbol of God's strength, which figuratively encamps around us. And as Christians, as we see things through our spiritual eyes, to see things through the lens of God's Word, the promises that He's made, you know, the things that He has done, the statements He's made about how He feels about His people. When we see things in this way, we can see that God has surrounded us. He's taking care of us. And He is always with us. Why should we fear when we're encircled by God's might? No one or nothing can break through that fortress. No one or nothing can break through that fortress. And this psalm should actually encourage us to be very vigilant in our prayer life. Be honest before God. Just bring everything before Him. In verses 8 through 10, we see God meets all of our needs. It says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints. For those who fear Him, there is no want. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger. But they who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing. The word taste here used in this context is one of experiencing firsthand the goodness of God, His kindness, and His grace. But how do we taste the goodness of God? How do we experience the goodness of the Lord? It's found in what He's done for us, sending His Son to die on our behalf, to bring salvation to us. It's found in what He does for us in our relationship with Him. In verse 8, it tells us we taste the goodness of God by taking refuge in Him. God is where you turn when things are going well or during difficult times. When we put our trust in God and we strive to do His will, we find that God is an unparalleled refuge for us. He delivers on His promises. And we're reminded again that no fortress can compare to His protection. In verse 9, it states we taste the goodness of God by fearing Him in our daily walk. And fear isn't a terror. It's just a deep awe and reverence of the Lord. Now, those outside of Christ certainly have reason to fear the Lord. But as we become Christians, we grow in our love for Him. We become more obedient to Him. Similar to Psalm 23, those who follow God in reverence and in love, they shall not want. God will provide all of our human and our spiritual needs. In verse 10, we see that we taste the goodness of God by seeking Him. Seeking God means just pursuing that right relationship with Him. God provides for them who make Him their focus. In contrast, you can see that the young lions as strong as and powerful as they are, you know, they still often lack food. They have other deficiencies. But this isn't the case for those who trust in God. The faithful Christian will never want for any good thing because God takes care of us. And I think this may be one of the most comprehensive promises of the Bible. And remember, recall, David's writing this as he's fleeing for his life. The promise is given as an encouragement, though, to God's faithful children. God has never allowed one of his children to experience the loss of the actual help that is needed. God has never allowed his children to experience the loss of actual help that is needed. Now, we can understand this promise being more about spiritual sustenance than physical security. But we should also take the time to recognize that we're very blessed physically. We live in a free country. We have nice homes to live in. We have an abundance of food. We have truly more than anything that we need. And in James chapter 1, verse 17, we know that every good thing and every perfect gift in our lives comes from God. We can have true joy, and we can have true thankfulness in our heart when we count our many blessings that God has given to us. In verses 11 through 14, we see faithfully following God, it leads to a good life. It says, David writes, "Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves length of days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it." So the question is posed, who wants to live a good life? I got to think most people would raise their hand and say, well, I do. Well, the psalmist here tells us how to get it. It's by living obediently to God. You know, Peter actually quoted this same description in telling Christians in the first century how to live during all their trials and their afflictions in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. And this section, these verses, and actually specifically verses 13 and 14, include six imperatives regarding how we are to live obediently to the Lord. Six imperatives or commands, things we need to be doing in our lives. First, keep your tongue from evil. We shouldn't be engaging in, you know, malicious speech or talking and speaking against God and His teachings. Shouldn't be gossiping. Shouldn't be criticizing. Shouldn't be complaining. Those types of things, we need to keep those away from us. And our lips and we need to keep our lips from speaking deceit. Lies have no place with the Christian. We need to depart from evil. It's the third one. Stop practicing those things that are contrary to God's word. And fourth, we need to do good. We need to replace the evil that we may have been doing by doing good. Number five, we need to seek peace. Blessed are the peacemakers, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. And finally, this last one, we need to pursue peace. We need to actively be that person that brings peace into people's lives. So the good life, it's not elusive. It's not far from our grasp. Right? It just grows from us righteous tongue. Just living the way God wants us to live. A life of doing good and eagerly pursuing peace. And God desires this kind of living, even during our times of distress and our trials. And He will crown it with His favor and with His blessings. And then in verses 15 through 18, we see God watches over His people. God watches over His people. It says, "The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and His ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against evildoers to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. You know, in these verses, the psalmist references the eyes and the ears and the face of the Lord. And he's simply trying to picture God in human terms so that we can understand his character better. And that that's God ceaselessly watching over his people. God never tires. In verses 15 and 17, we see references to the eyes of the Lord, which represents his concern and his care and his eagerness to help his children. His ears are open. It means God is ready and he stands ready to respond to our prayers. God loves the faithful, the righteous, and his favor is extended toward them. He protects his people and he delivers them. In verse 18, we see God's heart is extended towards the mistreated person, one that's crushed in spirit. They will be heard by the Lord. God is always near. He's always near the brokenhearted. Always near. You know, righteous living doesn't mean we won't face trials and afflictions, difficult times. But God promises that he will be with us during our time of need. God loves his people as a father loves his children. We talked about that earlier. His overwhelming kindness is given to those who follow him by answering our prayers and surrounding us with his protection. God sends his great power and his great mercy to the ones that need it the most. Right? He sends his great power and mercy to those who need it the most. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. In verses 19 through 22, we see God provides comfort for the afflicted. God provides comfort for the afflicted. He says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. He keeps all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems those who take refuge in him. And none of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. So how do we think of afflictions? How should Christians view them? You know, we talked earlier about just because we're faithful to God doesn't mean we won't be facing trials and afflictions, that we won't be free from all kinds of trials. In fact, Paul writes to us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, saying, because we are faithful, we will face trials. But we can be comforted knowing that the Lord is stronger than our afflictions. God is able to deliver his children. Excuse me. God is able to deliver his children out of any difficulty that may arise. God is stronger than anything the devil can throw at us. He is the God of all comfort. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. We also see that the Lord will be a refuge for the righteous in any kind of storm. At all times, God is an invincible fortress. He is a haven from the storms of trial and suffering. He will not allow our bones to be broken. So just as when the bones of a person are all in place, the individual is complete, this is a figurative expression declaring the completeness of God's protection for us. God continually provides for our needs during our darkest hours. And we need to learn to see those difficult experiences that they can actually produce good outcomes. It's good, I think, for us to take the time to consider some of the benefits of those difficult times that we've gone through in our lives. It's challenging when you're going through those. It's very challenging when you're going through those. But after a period of time away from that situation, we should try to see the good that's come out of those experiences. How the bad experiences, those difficult things we've gone through, help us to gather strength and momentum for the blessings and the future blessings in our lives. Learning to see past our struggles through God's eternal perspective enables us to be more thankful during our times of struggle. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. As Christians, we should praise God. We should praise God that we have His approval and He can protect us from whatever difficulty may arise. We have God's strength and we have His salvation. We have God's providential care for us. You know, Psalm 34 is just, it's a wonderful reminder about being thankful for God and for what He has done for us. And we should take the time to reflect on how God has brought us through those difficult times. How He delivered us from serious trial and affliction. And our trial may be common to us or to others. It may be unique to us in what we're facing. But what was our reaction? What was our reaction during those difficult times? And how did our relationship with God influence our attitude and the actions that we took? In our knowledge of God should convince us to praise Him. David had seen God answer his prayers and had witnessed His continual protection. We should be able to look back in our lives and see how God has answered our prayers and delivered us from our afflictions. The rich blessings from God just put a continual song of praise on David's heart and in his mouth. And it should for us as well. The Lord has been mindful of me. The Lord has been mindful of me. We also see that David valued his relationship with God. David's boast was of his life with the Lord, not of his own achievements. God was at the center of his thinking. It wasn't just sporadic thoughts that he had during the course of his life. Being with God and having God working in him was the essence of David's life. Following God should be the essence of our lives as well. When we consider all the love and the blessings that He has given to us, we should sit back and think, we have so much to be thankful for. We have so much to be thankful for. And hopefully we'll repeat what David wrote in the first couple verses. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. This morning we have not talked about what it takes to become a Christian, but there may be those who have been contemplating that, been searching the Scripture, and are ready to make that commitment and enjoy the blessings that God has to offer. And there may be others that are going through trials and afflictions or just really struggling and really need our help. I just ask that if there is any spiritual need that someone has, I just ask that you come now as we stand and we sing our invitation song.